just about the same thing the whole time. You know what I mean?
I think the band was going to play something. Can you believe that?
You know what I mean? About the same thing the whole time.
Thank you.
Granted, all of us have ups and downs, but with Mark, the ups seem to be a little higher and the downs seem to be a little lower. And with his history, we were concerned. These were markings and signs of a very troubled young man.
You know, a favorite story of mine, I always remember one of the favorite stories, which puts me in mind of another story. Reminds me a little bit of the story. I always remember one of the favorite stories. Reminds me a little bit of the story. You know, a favorite story of mine, which puts me in mind of another story. You know, a favorite story of mine. I always remember one of the favorite stories. Reminds me a little bit of the story. I remember one of the favorite stories, which puts me in mind of another story. A little bit of the story puts me in mind of another story. Favorite story of mine. I always remember one of the favorite stories.
Ahoy, mateys. No, keep working. Keep swabbing. It's going to be a swab fest. I mean, this is the 20th century America. Do not leave your job description location. Just keep at it. What do you think this is, a free ride? I think this is a celebration of life. This outpost in the far reaches of the Godville. This is Mayberry, my friends. Not Oz. Of course, I could be wrong. So keep on swabbing anyway. I'll think about it. I don't want you thinking about it, though. You're listening. I'm broadcasting. Get it? Don't get any presumptions now. Reminds me of a little story on planet Earth. Earth being a story mill. A drama plant. An illusion factory. Emotionville. Get on that emotion train, my friends. GNP's a wantin'.
Start kicking. Favorite story of mine, which puts me in mind of another story. Never mind a bull rock. When do we start kicking?
Who digs a guy with a big dick? The entire song. It's a metaphor for big dicks.
No, it ain't. It's about a girl who's very vulnerable. She's been fucked over a few times, and then she meets a guy.
Whoa. Time out, Green. They tell that fucking bullshit to the tourists.
Toby? Who the fuck is Toby?
Like a Virgin's not about some sensitive girl who meets a nice fella. That's what True Blue's about. No, granted, no argument about that.
What's True Blue?
Oh, you ain't heard True Blue. It's a big ass. I don't even follow that top to the pop shit, and you've never heard of
it. Well, yeah, so even saying her, but, you know, a lot of ass is how's it goes. Speaking of being the world, Madonna.
Personally, I can do without her.
I used to like her early stuff, Borderline. When she got out into that Papa Don't Preach phase, I tuned out.
But you guys are, like, making me lose my train of thought here. I was saying something. What was it?
Oh, Toby's that little Chinese girl. That was her last name.
What's that?
That's an old address book I found on a coat I haven't worn in a cool age. What was that name?
What the fuck was I talking about?
So True Blue was about a guy. Says a girl that meets a nice guy, but like a virgin was meant for big things.
Okay, let me tell you what like a virgin is about. It's all about this coot who's a regular fuck machine. Now I'm talking morning, day, night, afternoon. Dick, 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 dick.
How many dicks is that?
A lot. So one day she meets this John Holmes motherfucker, and it's like, whoa, baby. I mean, this cat is like Charles Bronson in The Great Escape. He's digging tunnels. All right, now she's getting a serious dick action. And she's feeling something she ain't felt since forever. Pain. Pain.
Chew, Toby, chew.
It hurts. It hurts her. It shouldn't hurt. You know, her pussy should be bubbling out by now. But when this cat fucks her, it hurts. It hurts just like it did the first time. You see, the pain is reminding a fuck machine what it was once like to be a virgin. Hence, like a virgin.
Capable, we thought, of inflicting damage to himself. As I mentioned to you before, when we heard that he shot John Lennon, it didn't particularly surprise us that he was capable of violence. We just didn't think he would direct the violence at someone else. But for your story, we got just a minute and a half.
Oh, wow.
All right.
Well, that won't be a story. That'll be a real quick introduction, synopsis.
Okay.
other down. We got to stand on solid ground. And then we're going to go through.
If we're going to start letting personal, we're feeling down each other personally getting away, then we're not going to be able to accomplish anything.
I don't count myself nothing big in the club. I don't count myself no bigger than nobody else. The rest of them has more to do with it than I do because my husband is messed up in mine. Retard, and the Eastover just pushed us out. We pushed off before the rent was up and all of that. He had smashed up there. Daddy's down with coal dust from that mine. I went to school, to age of school. I got part of the sixth grade because Daddy got $8 and something a shift. Nothing to go to school on, after going overalls and pile out slate for a living after I grow that, coal out of it and sell it, and walk over that mountain from that mine to school, and her old barn up there, not even a light in it. I've got Mom's school oil lamps, I've got her stove barn to sit in there for them to look at, and walk it to school and back.
And I know everybody's disappointed we don't have a bigger crowd, and we're disappointed that more people haven't come in. But when you get down to it in this fight and like in any other fight, you got to depend on yourselves. Nobody in the end is going to do it for you. The union's going to back you, and we're going to do all we can, but you got to win this fight yourselves. Now, it's the first time East Kentucky has stood up against the coal operators, and you're doing it. And when you win, you're fighting for your kids and your grandkids. Every one of them will have a better life because of what you're doing here. And that's why the fight's so hard. If there wasn't so much at stake, they wouldn't be fighting you this hard. They wouldn't shoot into your homes if there wasn't so much at stake. And if they're not enough on the picket line, then when you come to the picket line on the way, stop by and pick someone up and knock on the door and ask them to come along with you.
Of any civilization, has the people been lacking and in need, so desperate as the people are in the United States of America. Never has a government in the history of this nation.
Remember one of the favorite stories, which puts me in mind of another story.
Gone so far away from God. In three decades, never has a Supreme Court.
Well, John, how much time we got?
We got about 8 minutes. But for your story, we got just like a minute and a half.
Four times in the Constitution, the name of God is mentioned. And they don't even want our children to meditate.
Think about it. Hawaii, beautiful place to live. Weather's perfect.
About
then it would be ideal. It would be like the Garden of Eden. But I was getting depressed again. And I was just sick and tired of everything. Things I thought were going to be so good, and they turned out exact opposite.
Cannot even take them in public.
It was the fall of 1980. It had been a year of projects taken up enthusiastically and then suddenly dropped.
Meeting.
Now he decided to read every book in the state library in Honolulu. Public. But he found something that reawoke an old
God.
Passion.
Save America before it's too late. You may be seated.
Now, what the hell do you think you are doing? You're my book.
I'm sick of fucking hearing it, Joe. I'll give it back to you when we leave.
What do you mean when we leave? Give me it back now.
For the past 15 minutes now, you've been droning on about names. Toby Wong. Toby Chung, fucking Charlie Chan. I've got Madonna's big dick coming out of my left ear, and Toby the Jack. I don't know what, coming out of my right.
Give me that book.
Are you going to put it away?
I'm going to do whatever the fuck I want with it.
You can't make it away. You can't be positive enough to make it go away.
is time all of us came home and stood beside him. As his running mate, Mr. Clinton chose Albert Gore. But just how moderate is Prince Albert?
You're holy of the vow. Pious ways will not eradicate the cancer of the soul. Religion is a ritual of men.
You may have a much wider range for cancer than you're willing to admit to. And if the important thing is to enlarge those few seconds into minutes and into hours, and to get the control, to take the narrow slot that you now have and widen it in time.
And not
freak out if somebody else does.
And I think
the answer I'm coming up with is that if you
think that you can handle it, you probably can.
If you believe you can handle it.
To a certain extent, that's true, but you still got to get the experimental in there. And be willing to take the risk that maybe you can't handle it.
And I would also assume that people are free enough to be easily hypnotized.
What does that mean? Follow somebody else's program? Okay. Hypnotizability in the last century was an authoritarian kind of thing. Charcot and Genet and so on wore their long coats and walked down the ward and gave people programs and they followed them. And so they were great hypnotists. Nowadays, it's become a much subtler process, and hypnotherapy has developed way beyond this authoritarian aspect. And most of the hypnotherapists I know say, look, I'm not doing anything but furnishing the conditions and the permission for you to change your state of consciousness. You're doing it. And so the term autosuggestion comes in, and the autogenic training kind of concept comes in, the self-metaprogramming comes in.
Somewhere within this dance, you can find the symbols, the embedded metaphors, the to-be-filled metaphors, and the value beyond value. And as well as discovering and unfolding, somewhere within this blending time, this night, you can awaken something within you. As well as discovering and unfolding, you can awaken power, you can awaken strength, you can awaken talent, power, strength, talent that you know, that you have words for, that you have labels for, but you can awaken that power, the power with which you are most familiar, at depths and at heights not yet known. With dimension, with a richness, with a ripeness not yet experienced. You can awaken power, strength, and talent that you don't yet know, that has a raw energy, that has a sheer force, that cannot be contained. A raw energy and a sheer force that cannot be contained, but can be harnessed with design and with direction, so that you might accomplish your achievements with greater ease, so that you might fulfill your destiny with greater excellence. You can awaken power, raw energy. We'll be right back.
Just got a lot of people, I think, are under the impression you have to work out for 2 hours a day. I find sometimes I'm at home, I don't have time to the gym to warm up, run around the block for 2 minutes, come back and work.
아니, 그럴 사람이에요.
그럴 사람 따로 없어. 넌 네 아버지 아들 아니야? 이리 좀 봐봐.
Exercises like the bench press, the fly, the pullover. You can get a great workout in 45 minutes.
어머니!
아니요, 선생님. 직접 전달하진 않고.
Just the tens.
Tens for a ten?
I like it. Okay. Feet up. Actually, I prefer to have my feet crossed. Two. On your backs. That's it. Roll down on your backs. Good. Right knee comes up to the chest, making sure that that right shoulder stays on the ground when you pull it over to the left side. And extend it to the air. Good. Now while you bring that one down, bring the other one up. Making sure that that left shoulder stays on the ground when you bring it over to the right side.
Chapman read James Lundquist's critical study of J.D. Salinger and re-entered the world of The Catcher in the Rye and its hero, Holden Caulfield.
We're just going to squat out to the right, now to the left. March it here easy. That's all it is. Let's do that again. Squat, hands on the thighs.
But according to the National Taxpayers Union,
watch me one time.
Al Gore beat out Teddy Kennedy two straight years for the title of biggest spender in the U.S. Senate. And Teddy Kennedy isn't moderate about anything.
Three, cool, walk it out.
One more.
Oh, yeah.
Ha.
Thank you.
March it out right here.
Uh-oh.
How you guys doing?
I'm doing great.
I'm doing at home. How are you feeling? Can you feel that heart getting stronger?
Reminds me a little bit of the story, favorite stories. We always remember one of the favorite stories, story of the favorite story of mine. I always remember one of the favorite story of mine.
You've stolen plenty of things. You've even done
franchise. Right, I just take a gun and that's, you know, I put it in your face and take your money.
And then that's honorable?
Well, it's not dishonorable.
Beyond that which you know. As well. Somewhere in the midst of the hours together tonight, you can awaken. Mystical and magical. Mystical and mysterious. Choice. Choice that we talked of several months ago, that is so. Choice that is such an integral part of this year of vision and soul. Important to your own personal vision, yes. You can awaken. Not just know about, not just understand, not just have the information, but you can awaken this mysterious choice that is keystone to all creation and manifestation, that is cornerstone to all success, happiness and joy, that is seminal to all change. this mystical choice that lies beyond the mystery, the mystical choice that can supersede itself, the mystical choice that can surpass itself, that can engage your mind or engage your truer self.
The not guilty verdict does not mean that they were right, Alan. Okay, now we'll take it to the next point. You have not satisfied me at all. I don't think you've satisfied anyone else that if he had bled on a prior occasion.
Firestar orb works on the principle of the excitation field, whereby this energy is moved up the base of the spine. But instead of moving it up the base of the spine, because it's something that's suspended in a building, it causes the entire building to start vibrating using the core frequencies of the earth. And so when the core frequencies of the earth are tapped into by this kind of a device, what happens is it sends out like a beacon out into space. It goes all the way out. It's quite interesting. It's the way this thing works. This beacon then sets up an energy that if the locality is such that it could handle this kind of energy, there's a veil that's lifted, and there's a lot more UFO activity. You know, in some cases, for example, people that have opened astral vision, for example, could see a UFO, and another person standing right next to them couldn't see it. Yet, you could have two or three people agreeing that they're actually seen or have seen a UFO, and one or two people that haven't seen anything.
What's the gist of your comments? What are they like?
All about me. My sex life, my phobias, what a disgusting human being I think I am. No, I hope.
But your mother's featured in them a lot, too.
Yeah, yeah. So the way I can tolerate my mother is by drawing really hideous drawings of her. Like this, for example. This is after Sophie was born. My mother came to visit me, and she was so irritating and so unhelpful. She talks about how she couldn't hold the baby because she had just had her nails wrapped. My mother yells really loud in the restaurant, "Got any sweet and low, dear?" Real quiet sort of fern bar restaurant in San Francisco, and every single person turned around to look, you know. She came to the airport with an afro, dressed up to the minute in this completely trendy outfit. Robert and I looked like immigrants just off the boat.
Was her father there in the middle of the bottom?
That's my mother's husband, yeah. She had him dressed in a leisure suit. When she first met him, he used to wear like baggy brown suits, and he had like short hair, and he was kind of fat. And she put him on a diet and put him in like safari outfits and made him grow his sideburns, but he was still real jalubby, so he had like real jalubby posture and everything, but he was real trendily dressed.
That subjugates women into this like pathetic, you know,
right,
role of a
victim. Victimization of women.
And it's really not true. Also, a lot of people really want me to say, you know, it's not important. It's not beauty in this ideal, you know, slim, whatever. It's not ideal. That's entirely not true. It's very important. The truth lies somewhere in between. It's very important, and it's utterly irrelevant at the same time. They're both paradoxically true at the same time, and it's much more a very personal journey. I could never claim that I want to start some kind of a revolution. It's amazing how people want to put that onto me. That's just not true. This is a very personal journey of finding your own meaning. you know, in contrast and coming into conflict with all these ideals. In my particular case, I think the reason people are attracted to my story is it's almost mythic. You know, what happened to me is I had the one thing that we just all take for granted, which is, you know, our basic sense of identity, wrested away from me. And the things I went through were so sort of blown out of proportion that I was allowed to, in a strange way, see past them. But I think the story is actually applicable to anything that comes along and tries to tell you, this is how reality works. This
total denial and delusion. The bulimic will often know they need help. We'll see with Denise in the third program how she just came to the point whether she was going to decide whether she lived or died. So that is a good comparison.
Always remember one of the favorite stories.
From perfect families where there isn't a history of abuse, whereas bulimics will come from chaotic families, alcoholic families, not that an anorexic couldn't, but there'll be more of a history of abuse. Now, there's another...
In September, he tried officially to change his name to Holden Caulfield.
Get that thing out of my way. I thought I just wanted to kick the devil and I was going to take a shot at him. Religion is the opium of the people, one scholar says.
Religion of random chance. A random chance, rather, and necessity. So much of evolution that has happened, that goes on, is an evolution based upon the laws of entropy, based upon random chance and necessity. Not because that's the way it has to be, not because that's the way it is, it's because that's the way you let it be. But with mystical choice, you can redirect this evolution from entropy with its evolution of random chance and necessity to a spiritual evolution, to a spirituality, and an evolution based upon choice.
Shoot me in a dream. You better wake up and apologize.
I don't know what y'all are going up against at first. The thugs sitting around the highway with guns in their hands. We can't do nothing. Just get up there and wiggle.
Well, how do you feel about it, Tommy? I mean, how do you feel about us coming up there?
I don't want to go up there and get their wheel. I won't be welcome by that.
Well, you didn't expect me for us, huh?
Now, we've got a new president, Judy Cruisenberry, as our new president, so let's give her a hand. And we've got two traders, co-traders, Dorothy Johnson and Marilyn Ferguson. I'm really tickled that we've got this many people out, you know, today and all of us out. And I think that one thing that's helped us is last week we had such a struggle, but I think that what's come out of it is good.
Come on.
Yeah.
Are you
going
to carry it with you like that?
Oh, it's got safety. And if it is, it wouldn't be nothing. I might do that one anyway. As long as we got enough.
I want you to move the needle though.
Oh.
Or lick a crystal, or kiss a statue, or worship Buddha, or bow a
know, up at that great, big costume party they held up in New York, Mr. Gore made a startling declaration. Henceforth, Albert Gore said, the central organizing principle of governments everywhere. Startling declaration. Henceforth, Albert Gore said, central organizing principle.
This is Crispin Glover, and you're listening to WZBC. Hello, this is Crispin Glover at WZCBC.
She's not interested.
She doesn't know you're a cartoonist?
Somehow unconsciously she must know that there's something she doesn't want to know about. And the other thing is that she doesn't really take in very much about anybody anyway. She's not too interested. She came here and she saw like this painting and a bunch of other paintings around, and she said, those are nice paintings. Who did them? And I said, I did. She said, I didn't know you painted. Then he sent me to art school.
What's the difference of taking taking California from Mexico or taking money from a bank? Answer. Marley, what's the difference of taking taking California from Mexico or taking money from a bank? Answer me.
By Little Tony DeFranco and the Franco family, man, I haven't heard that song since I was in the fifth fucking grade.
When I was coming down here, the night the lights went out in Georgia came on, I heard that song since it was big. When it was big, I must have heard it a million trillion fucking times.
All right.
Well, that won't be a story. That'll be a real quick introduction, synopsis.
Okay.
Well, we're here, you know, at Camp Cody on Ossipee Lake in New Hampshire. And rising up at the end of the valley is a large mountain, the highest mountain in the southern part of the National Forest, called Mount Chinkaroa. Chinkaroa was an old war chief during the Penacook Indian Uprising back in the French and Indian days. So when we tell stories around the campfires, a lot of them really have some history and some meaning about what life was here on our site, which used to be an Indian village several hundred years ago. Chikorawa was quite a character in the local scene. At the end of which his days, he had been chased up that mountain. What had happened, his son had died while in safekeeping in the local governor's house, colonial governor of the Indians came back, found the boy had died of smallpox, killed the governor. And the governor's troops and Rogers Rangers of British Army fame chased it.
Thank you.
Pulled over the edge of the mountainside. He kind of laid a curse out on the valley and warned that none of the settlers would ever be able to raise cattle or grow corn or survive in the valley, and he vanished. The tribesmen buried him up there. He's still buried. He's never been found. The loot and gold and silver that had been collected by his tribe was buried with him, and the treasure is still up there. And strangely enough, nothing has grown in the valley, John, since those days. The farms do very poorly, and the cattle don't survive, and the corn is terrible, and yet at the end of the story, as we go through this, it's a little lot more detail than I'm giving you here in a moment.
Let's try to summarize what we have in common. Number one, I think all of us deeply are committed to the notion that the individual is the unit of humanity. The individual is the unit of knowledge. And though we pay great respect and often fearful fugitive reactions to systems and establishments, I know that you share with me this commitment that it's the individual, and that if you want to learn and grow, you look within.
Which puts me in mind of another story.
I think everyone in this room believes in a most wonderful concept of evolution. Evolution means change. Evolution means growth. Evolution means logical stages of development, both individual and, of course, as we evolve as individuals, we evolve as groups, nations, and as a species.
Welcome back. Let's talk, if we may, Matt, I don't know that we came to you. Any surprises you're looking for in this town meeting? Anything hot other than the smoke?
Just say it. WLS Talk Radio, 94.7 FM and 890 AM.
Good evening. It's 11 minutes before 7 o'clock. This is the Catherine Johns program on WLS. Call him Danny or Rosty. In Washington, they call him the chairman. And he has considerable power, which probably explains why people all over the country are concerned about his indictment.
You have something that belongs to Robin Masters. We're here to return it to him.
I don't have anything that belongs to Mr. Masters.
We want that church for him and for us.
Mr. Walton, whatever lumber this will buy, it will be the foundation for our church.
Now, it's about a lot of lumber. Some labor, too.
You've got all the help you need.
Now, as you know, boys and girls, not everyone is committed to this philosophy of individual divinity and growth and change. There are some among us, not in this room, but out there, who do not believe in growth. All was done 4,000 years ago or somewhere by one, usually male god who's laid it all down. And to talk about evolution and change is the ultimate heresy. To talk about the individual is the ultimate heresy. To imply that you go within instead of without is the ultimate heresy.
Well, at least we've avoided the touchy questions.
Why don't we make him chief of protocol?
Chief of protocol? Oh, yeah. He's a real diplomat, let me tell you. But, Mr. President, you're just great to call us, and I know it's a busy time. You're kind. You know who's here? Congressman Joe Moakley. Isn't he a great fellow? He's a good friend and colleague. And
whenever I get talking about us and them, I always think of my darling, beloved partner in time, Richard Alfred Baba Ram Dass, you know. And very often when we would be discussing things together in public or in private, and I'd be kind of standing up talking about us and them, Richard would say, Timothy, There's no us and them. All is one. And I would say, Richard, you know that, and I know that. We know that. Einstein and Bohr and Planck and the great physicists and the great Hindu and Buddhist philosophers, hey, we all know that. We know that. The problem is they don't know that.
Some tests may be inconclusive. Some tests may, I think, favor the idea of morphic resonance. If all the tests that are done fail it, if it fails, if it looks as if things are governed by eternal changeless laws, that there's no evidence for any incremental change in time in any area, that everything goes on as if it were governed entirely by laws that were already there to start with, I'd find that rather surprising. But failure of these experiments would actually support that view. And the conventional view would then, for the first time, actually have empirical evidence in its favor. Because so, this would be the first time it's ever been challenged. And if those challenges fail, it would strengthen it. So these tests, I think, are in everybody's interest. But if they support the idea of morphic resonance, then indeed it would show that that is not a perfect model. It's the idea of a memory in nature, morphic resonance, however crude the theory is in its present preliminary form, it would be a better theory and a theory more worth developing.
Wanna be somebody?
I am somebody.
Yeah, I mean like Big Cheese of the Scuzzies.
The Scuzzies? Rival gang of the Closo?
Yeah. I'll mark you down as head cheese.
I'll buy it.
This is the first time I ever realized that the girl singing the song is the one who shot Andy.
Wait, you mean you didn't know that Vicki Lawrence was the one who shot Andy?
I thought it was the cheating wife shot Andy.
Yeah, but they said that at the end of the song.
I know, motherfucker. I just heard it. That's what I'm talking about.
You can call me a motherfucker.
I must have zoned out during that part before.
All right. I'll take care of the check. You guys can get the tip.
The subject, what are we having for dinner?
Obviously already learned is the importance of black. It's good.
Thanks, Paul.
Okay, enough.
So why this figure? Why did you choose this one in particular?
I these photos are powerful photos for some reason.
This one was easy to draw, too, I felt.
Right. But I only picked the attractive ones. I didn't do that. Some of them are ugly, you know. Her, she's a mess.
Yeah, she is, yeah.
The text talks about her being like an alcoholic reprobate. You just pick her up off the street, throw her this one up. Oh, God. A monster. Yeesh. In my drawing of her, I made her cuter than she really is. Because I acquired the cuteness curse when I worked at American Greetings, which I can't see.
Yeah, you got the tilt of her head, right? I just noticed that I have
that's
distance
hard.
Wrong.
That's hard to do. You have to really, you know, like, actually, the proportions of this to this, you know, is that the same or is it shorter? I did a lot of erasing with pencil at first. What you haven't learned yet is how to cheat, though, to get the desired effect that you want.
Like what? Draw over top of a Xerox or something?
Well, I mean, you want to, like, capture a certain thing about this woman's face, a certain defiance or whatever it is you see in there.
I didn't get it.
Exaggerate those little things that give her that look, you know? Like the way her teeth are slightly shown with you, got a slight sneer, you know?
Yeah, I sort of try to do that, but it's hard with pencil, yeah.
Just exaggerate it a little bit, you know, cheat it a little bit. Like the tilt of the head and the sneer, you would just make, you know, emphasize that. You kind of almost have to do it consciously, make an assessment of what you want to bring out in this person's face.
I did that here, but it still didn't work out.
Well, it's very subtle in that photo. It's very, very subtle. I mean, my drawing doesn't capture the heat.
Kind of does in a way. You've got the open mouth. That's sort of the key to the whole thing.
It's the teeth smear, here. You know?
Yeah. Bearing the teeth.
Yeah.
The age old ancient.
That's key. Yeah. And you know, they obviously order her to sit down and don't move. You know, they're going to take her picture and just, you know, sit there. And you can see that she really doesn't like it. It'd be good, actually, if you could take life drawing. I think that'd be really...
You didn't go to art school. No. Like, you're rich and famous.
Jeez. We're not talking about rich and famous. We're talking about learning how to draw.
What's the moral there?
Well, I mean, one's in your control and one isn't. You can't just kind of excuse your own personal acts by saying other people did it.
My character doesn't excuse it. I just put the realities of the world. I said my character chose to be a criminal.
Right.
If you don't like it, then punish me, you know, or do what you can.
And reflection. Words. We understand the words. And they are so limited in expressing what we're trying to say at you. But there is a mystical choice, mystical, more than mysterious, mystical, that you can use to move away from the evolution that entropy produces to the evolution that spirituality produces, away from the random chance to choice, away from necessity to reflection. And you can awaken that choice, whether you use it or not is a different issue, but you can awaken it. Somewhere in the blending, somewhere in the downs, somewhere in the journey of coming home. You can also awaken miracles, thirdly. Miracles that are those things beyond all expectation. That are those amplified coincidences and synchronicities with meaning. That is the precipitation of the surpassing. And the superseding that is transcendent, producing change.
Puts me in mind of another story.
That is the precipitation of the energy between, that is the product of mystical choice. The miracles that can be those truths that catapult you forward. You can become the miracle maker by awakening miracles, and you can let it rain, let it rain, let it rain the love and light of miracles. This can awaken in the dance of coming home.
Wrote to Professor Lundquist, signing the letter a 25-year-old catcher. And he kept reading.
I checked out a book about John Lennon. And when I read it, I found out some strange things he did. And I was probably angered at his phoniness. I mean, I wasn't fuming, but I was saying what a fake he was, what a phony he was. Then I thought to myself that I was going to kill John Lennon.
First telephone. Although his messages could travel in only one direction, at least the device worked every day. However, the problems of devising a successful two-way system to speak to the so-called dead are far more complicated than those that faced the inventors of the telephone, telegraph, and radio.
Good. Now realize that in the body we have these different frequencies. We have the centers of these frequencies, and these centers, meaning like the thyroid center, the heart center, have different lengths of nerves wrapped around them, ganglions of nerves wrapped around them. They respond to different vibratory levels, and these vibratory response levels and lengths are once again tuned. This is when we talk about tuning the antenna or lengthening the antenna to the different frequencies to get the most out of the energy. And once again, like I was saying earlier, if we had a citizens band transmitter in our home and wanted to transmit to a citizens band receiver in our car, we had a 50-foot antenna, it would not be as effective as a 9-foot antenna, because a 9-foot antenna would be a frequency that's corresponding to one of the octaves or wavelengths of the basic wave, which is 27 feet long. If, for example, you were going to transmit 60 cycles per second, the wave for that would be 1,200 miles long, because 60 cycles is a lot slower in frequency.
It takes a lot longer period over time to go positive and negative in it.
Should be about a buck a piece. And you, when I come back, I want my book.
Sorry, it's my book now.
Hey, I changed my mind. Shoot this piece of shit, will you?
Also, a drop message to my parents. Love me, be less than me. Love me, always look up to me. How many of you have ever dealt with a pouting mother because you were going to do it on your own and wouldn't let her help you? How many of you dealt with a father who awkwardly stumbled and stammered because you didn't want his advice and you didn't need his $5? How many of you realize they want to be needed? They want to give me that advice. They want me to be less than them. And out of my love for them, I will follow in their footsteps.
Just too important for the transnational corporations and the other major power units. Oh, yeah. I would simply ask yourself, what was the purpose in allowing the U.S. to fall so much into debt? Well, one answer is given if you simply ask the question, who owns the debt and who's going to pay it? Well, the people who are going to pay the debt are the poor. The people who they're going to pay it to are the rich. I mean, who owns the treasuries and, you know, the bonds and so on. So the debt itself is a kind of transfer of resources from the poor to the rich.
Sony radios or something? And they're the worst drivers. I mean, how do you drive with your eyes 3/4 closed, eh? You could blindfold these people with fucking dental floors. You don't give them keys to a car. Oh, shit. And then you got these other people, right? I don't know what they are. They're not white. They're not black. They're like urine color, you know? They walk around with that fucking laundry on their head and shit. You know what I'm saying?
Furthermore, the debt has consequences. They were actually described, quite frankly, if you remember, about 10 years ago by David Stockman when he was kicked out of the government. He said, look, the debt puts a cap on social spending. I mean, we want to stop anything. I mean, this is going to be a welfare state for the rich.
More, it always is, but more than before, it's going to be a welfare state for the rich, which means we'll have plenty of subsidies for the Pentagon and all that kind of stuff, all the state intervention for the rich, which is the big welfare program, but we'll cut down on the pennies that go to the poor, you know, aid to welfare, you know, to dependent mothers and that sort of thing. And the way you make sure that there's a cap on those programs is to be so deeply in debt that there's just no money around. And that's worked. I mean, even if somebody came along who wasn't a business candidate right now, there's not a lot they could do. You know, the parameters have been set so narrowly that there are no social policies that can be carried out very much anymore because we're just too deeply in debt. The debt probably went well beyond what any planners rationally wanted. I mean, it got to the level of household debt, you know, individual debt is at a level which has no historical precedent. I mean, corporate debt had reached very high levels. I think it's picking up, it's recovering now, you know, but at every level, federal, state, local, you know, debt is enormous.
People out there, I call them bottom feeders, barracudas, jackals, Geraldo. These are people who are making money on this.
You stood up to Geraldo Rivera. That man ain't nothing but hate. That man should be off of the television.
I have never, ever spoken to a Geraldo and never planned to.
We heard from Geraldo day after day, night after night, with his foolishness and his madness. Well, Geraldo, we got a message from the black nation here tonight. Geraldo, deal with this. We are backing O.J. Simpson up.
I can only give you the impression of Mr. Rivera that I had even before. My whole ordeal is that...
With our Spiritcom research, we must grapple with spirit world energies of which our sciences are totally ignorant.
Which puts me in mind of another story.
Some people on this earth, I mean, ecologically speaking, you know, we have buzzards, we have jackals, and they must serve a purpose.
And that we start kicking. Favorite story of mine.
Right. But I'm not gonna, you know, cry and say, poor me, you know.
Right. No,
I didn't want to. I didn't want to create that kind of character that said, you know, for me, society, you know, I'm black, I'm this, I'm that, you know, and this is my justification. I said, I don't need any justification.
I guess it's Edward.
What they do is they feast on misery and death. Long before my case, this man feasted on people's misery and death. Just look at his shows.
Use. Your own personal act
I don't
by saying
excuse
other people did it.
My character doesn't excuse it. I just put the realities of the world. I said my character chose to be a criminal.
Right.
If you don't like it, then punish me, you know, or do what you
right.
can.
First purpose. His first and foremost purpose is to make money. And if he is serious about caring, he would take every dime, including his salary, that CNBC show makes, and give it to victims' rights.
For these reasons, MetaScience Foundation has already planned the design approaches for three additional types of communication systems. It has published a technical manual entitled Spiritcom, summarizing its research to date and outlining these new approaches. It has made all of its experiences and designs available to researchers throughout the world. free of patents and copyrights.
Does that bother you at all?
Yeah, but that's okay.
Okay.
Am I airtight?
You're airtight, sir.
Watertight?
And watertight.
All right, sir.
Now I want to demonstrate the high quality of voice reproduction, which is our ultimate goal for Spiritcom. I can help you do this by turning the clock back and sharing some examples of a type of communication known as direct voice. This involves a very rare psychic ability in which certain energies from a living person are combined with energies from the world of spirit to form an invisible larynx or voice box.
For Lennon, there was no escape from fame. The images of his long career of public exposure were simply too powerful. His public stunts had summed up so much of the iconoclasm of the 60s. In Chapman's mind, the new Lennon had betrayed the old idealism.
We have to be good humor about it. All of us are them whenever we put on the uniforms and act as an official of an organization or as a spokesperson. As a matter of fact, the joy, the wonder, and the fun, and the continual challenge of our yoga is that we're all relapsing into vainness and you got to be on your toes every second because inertia and just plain laziness or comfort. So we're quite good natured about it. Now, what I plan to do this afternoon or this morning, I'm going to perform philosophy. I'll do a little teaching, maybe I'm going to perform. Now, see, in the past, people have executed philosophy, and have your powers, they teach it, but I belong, as most of you do, to the long brotherhood and sisterhood of people who perform philosophy.
I always remember one of the favorite stories. Reminds me a little bit of the story of...
Start kicking.
Wonderful. Out there in different rooms in this hotel there, I'm told there are 250 booths and stalls and centers, each one different, each one offering us a tactic or a method and appliance to use as tools to go within.
Beyond power, strength, and talent, beyond mystical choice, beyond miracle, motivation, you can awaken a reason to begin again, to draw that line, to step beyond it, a reason to begin again. A reason to cast off your masks, to strip away your disguise, to set down your weaponry, to set down your shields, a reason to stand up and to stand tall with visions and dreams committed. Reason to begin again.
Mr. Simpson, would you please stand and face the jury? Mrs. Robertson.
Superior Court of California, County of Los Angeles, in the matter of the people of the state of California versus Orenthal James Simpson, case number BA-097-2-2. 211. We, the jury, in the above entitled action, find the defendant or...
The person alive in the worlds of spirit steps up to this device and speaks just as he did when he still had his physical larynx.
Orenthal James Simpson, not guilty of the crime of murder in violation of Penal Code Section 187A, a felony upon Nicole Brown Simpson, a human being, as charged in count one of the information.
His voice is so clear that it can be understood easily by people in the room and can be recorded. Leslie Flint of London, England, is one of the comparatively few psychic persons who has this ability. Over the years, hundreds of famous people still alive in the worlds of spirit have spoken via direct voice through him.
Superior Court of the State of California, County of Los Angeles, in the matter of the people of the State of California versus Orenthal James Simpson. We, the jury, in the above entitled action, find the defendant Orenthal James Simpson not guilty of the crime of murder in violation of Penal Code Section 187A, a felony upon Ronald Lyle Goldman.
Stay in bed for a spring.
And grow your hair.
Yes.
For peace. Let it grow till peace comes. You know.
As beddings for peace, Lenin publicly stated that they were, it was fine. He stated that himself. He said it was a publicity thing. He sang about peace. He sang about giving things to charity. He protested. He whined. He screamed, he went through the primal scream, bullshit. You know, it's all that self-centered baloney. The man was just, a complete phony.
I have selected excerpts from four talks given by this method. They will show you how the individuality of the speaker still comes through and will add to your knowledge regarding what concerns individuals who have shed their physical bodies and now look at their life and yours from a different perspective.
All right, everybody cough up some green for the little lady. Come on, throw in a buck.
I don't tip.
You don't tip?
No, I don't believe in it.
You don't believe in tipping?
You know what these chicks make? They make shit. Don't give me that. She don't make enough money, she can quit.
I don't even know if fucking Jew would have the balls to say that. Let me just get this straight. You don't ever tip, huh?
I don't tip because society says I have to. All right, I'll tip if somebody really deserves a tip. If they really put forth the effort, I'll give them something extra. But, it's tipping automatically. It's for the birds.
Let's go to work.
Okay, it's a deal. Unhand it.
Thanks a lot, Robin Hood. Well, see you later. Tell Miss Happy.
Now at Long John Silver's counters and drive-thrus near you. So go popcorn. Rated fun for family audiences.
And now it's time for dinner.
As far as I'm concerned, they're just doing their job.
Hey, this girl was nice.
She was okay. She wasn't anything special.
Get together like this.
What?
I said it's great. We can all...
From Con...
What lovable redhead and her real-life Cuban husband starred in their own television series in the 50s?
The music swells and I sing, away out here they've got a name.
For the API service rating on the container.
Start kicking. When do we start kicking? Favorite story of mine are kicking,
which puts me in mind of another story.
What's special? Take you in the back and suck your dick.
I drove her 12% for that.
Hey, look, I ordered coffee, right? Now, we've been here a long fucking time. She's only filled my cup 3 times. I mean, when I order coffee, I want it filled 6 times.
They're demonstrating philosophy, and tomorrow at 12:30 at my workshop, we're going to have a hands-on demonstration of some of the things we're going to talk about here today. What does a performing philosopher do? Well, number one, and I've been doing this for 40 years, you look around for the new hot ideas or the old ideas that can now be expressed in new technology, and you popularize them. You publicize it. Hey, look at this new... this new way of doing what we all want to do. This new appliance for performing and demonstrating the ancient philosophy. So you popularize, you personalize, you publicize, you humanize the shocking old new ideas so that we can feel comfortable in applying them to our situation.
A reason to become the giants that you truly are. These can awaken in the dance, in the journey of beginnings, in the blendings of consciousness. You see, the journey that has ended has been a journey of going home. It has been a journey. It began as a journey of separation and forgetting. As you separated from God, Goddess, all that is by the will, your free will in this universe of free will. Because you wanted to find yourself, to find out who and what you really are and were. A journey of separating, a journey of forgetting. The long journey that has come to an end was a journey of going home. And as a journey of going home, it was a journey of forgetting and separating. And in your forgetting and separating, it became a journey of fear. It became a journey of endurance. When the journey home, the journey of going home began, it was a journey of endurance. It was a journey of violence. A journey of pain, a journey of crises and of loneliness. And yours, in your spiritual quest, was to endure the pain and be made better for it. To endure the crises, to endure the loneliness, to endure the violence and to rise above, to take the high road, to endure.
Now, stop the investigation. You still have to get back to the point that I have made previously, that my concern there, which was conveyed to them, and the decision then was in their hands.
And as such, it was a pain of fear and a pain of sorrow. But you grew and you changed and you evolved. And out of a journey of endurance, your journey of going home became one of struggle, one of suffering, to struggle. To struggle with the violence, to struggle with the pain, to struggle with the crises, and to struggle with the loneliness. And more than endure, to overcome it. To overcome it. No pain, no gain became your credo, became your battle cry. As you charged forth into the pain and into the violence, into the loneliness and the crises, to try to struggle your way through, to more than endure, to rise above, to change. And so you did change, and so you did grow.
You still have to get back to the point that I have made previously, that my concern there, which was conveyed to them, and the decision then was in their hands, my concern.
Basically, all of us do, whenever we're performing classes, through encouraging and hopefully empowering other people, think for yourself and question authority. Think for yourself and question authority.
Six times, well, you know, what if she's too fucking busy?
Words "too fucking busy" shouldn't be in a waitress's vocabulary.
Excuse me, Mr. Pink, but the last fucking thing you need is another cup of coffee.
Jesus Christ, I mean, these ladies aren't starving to death. They make minimum wage. You know, I used to work minimum wage, and when I did, I wasn't lucky enough to have a job the society deemed tip worthy.
You don't care? They're counting on your tips to live?
You know what this is? It's the world's smallest violin playing just for the waitresses.
You don't have any idea what you're talking about. These people bust their ass. This is a hard job.
So I was working at McDonald's, but you don't feel the need to tip them, do you? Well, why not? They're serving you food. But no, society says, don't tip these guys over here, but tip these guys over here. That's bullshit.
Waitressing is the number one occupation for female non-college graduates in this country. It's the one job basically any woman can get and make a living on. The reason is because of their tips.
Fuck all that.
Jesus Christ.
I mean, I'm very sorry the government taxes their tips. That's fucked up. That ain't my fault. I mean, it would appear that waitresses are one of the many groups the government fucks in the ass on a regular basis. I mean, if you show me a piece of paper that says the government shouldn't do that, I'll sign it. Put it to a vote, I'll vote for it. But what I won't do is play ball. And it's not college bullshit you're giving me. I got two words for that. Learn to fucking type. Because if you're expecting me to help out with the rent, you're in for a big fucking surprise.
Just convince me. Give me my dollar back.
Hey!
And in time, a struggle, or rather a journey of endurance, and then a journey of struggle, became a journey to reach beyond struggle. Many thought you were foolish. Some still do. If you have reached beyond struggle in search of the light and the love, and your journey has become one of beauty, and one of loving, and one of enchantment, and one of solitude. And yet, as beyond struggle as you've reached, it was still a journey of going home. It was still a journey of separating and forgetting. Now that everything is different, now that you have come to the end of this long journey, now that you have rounded the bend, the journey of going home has become the journey of coming home. The journey of separation and forgetting has become a journey of uniting and remembering. It is as though there is a grand attractor who compels you to grow more than propels you in your growth, that calls you as though a call has gone out, as though you've heard that call somewhere deep within your heart, deep within your mind, and you are responding to that call, being drawn rather than driven.
As having the investigation spread further than it needed to.
Being pulled rather than pushed. You've rounded the bend. You're now coming home. The grand attractor of God, Goddess, all that is. The grand attractor within your very soul and spirit. The grand attractor through Maya Shackle. She's calling you. She's calling you. She's compelling. And you are responding. No longer separating. Grounded at the bend, now uniting. No longer forgetting. Rounding the bend, now remembering. No longer going. Now coming. In your exploration of coming home, you can discover and awaken. You can unfold. As you do, discover and unfold, as you do, awaken. What can you embrace? What will you encounter? What will you engage? What will you find within the symbols, within the metaphors, within the value? What will you find?
Or phase entanglement of protons or whatever?
I think, I mean, it is a form of non-local causality, but it's not clear to me, you know, when one says mechanism, if you take non-local connections in quantum theory, you know, it's, although one could say the mechanism is the quantum field which links them, I think that's sort of using the word mechanism, there's a means. I mean, it's not exactly a mechanism, and the word mechanism has so many associations with machines, and that's what it comes from. It's actually a connection. What's the kind of connection involved in quantum mechanics rather than the mechanism that's interesting? It's a field connection. And the question is the field connection in quantum non-locality, in Bell's theorem, and the Einstein-Rosen-Podolsky paradox, that kind of quantum non-locality related to morphic resonance? Are they two aspects of the same phenomenon? That's the really interesting question in the relation to existing physics.
Steve, the dollar's there.
All right, Ramblers, let's get Ramblers. Wait a minute. Who didn't throw in?
Mr. Pink.
Mr. Pink? Why not?
He don't tip.
He don't tip? What do you mean you don't tip?
They don't believe in it.
Shut up. What do you mean you don't believe in it? Come on, you. Cough up a bucket, cheap bastard. I pay for your goddamn breakfast.
All right, since you pay for the breakfast, I'll put in. But normally I would never do this.
Never mind what you normally would do. Just cough in your goddamn butt like everybody else. Thank you.
Keep swabbing. I want to eat breakfast off that deck now. We're on board ship, and I am God. According to English law, don't you forget it. It's New Metaphysics, the SS New Metaphysics. We're going out for bounty. You're all going to share in it. If we have to commit some venal crimes along the way, well, you only have to answer to me. And other stories. Here on WZBC, out of the blue, in the dark of night, in the little quaint town of Mayberry, Andy Taylor speaks to you through the magic of wireless communication. My destiny. ...90.3... units of same. Tearing their way through your body tissue as I speak. I have power, you see. Coming at you. Every Thursday night, 10 to 2, your friendly radio show. Connecting you to your worst nightmares and fondest dreams, of course. The duality. Ever the duality. Here on the planet of emotional stories. A grand drama chosen oh so long ago by each and every one. So metaphorically, down on your knees, my friends. Keep scrubbing that deck. Unless you change your mind, of course. And commit mutiny on board the SS New Metaphysics. New sheriff in town on board your planet, the blue-green, changing to green during your immediate lifetime. The grand show getting underway, building momentum every day. Another anecdote by your ex-president Ronald Reagan. Consider it thus. Oh yeah. Everything you learned in and out of school. Wrong. Of course. Could you live another day if 'twere not so? We all knew that. And they all know that. Till 2 o'clock. Then you can disavow all knowledge. And the tape will destruct. Feel free to tape this show. Use it, abuse it, cut it and splice it. Send it off, or disavow all knowledge. It's a free country. UFO aliens helped write the Constitution, you know. They had to mine more stories from the blue-green, you see. You have personal permission from the author to use this programming as you see fit. Of course, the authority of this author is somewhat suspect. But you all knew that.
By question authority, I don't necessarily mean challenge. You run around automatically, reflex the negative. Question, examine. You'll find that many authorities do not want to be questioned, but you can handle that. I'd like to take a couple of minutes to review the history of philosophy, the history of our species. We're told about 30,000 years ago, our human species lived in tribal units. Now, in a tribal unit, the mode of communication, we packaged and exchanged ideas, was what? Bodily. Gestures. Dance. Posture. And, of course, the human voice. Now, in the typical tribal situation, you had people who were called shamans. Or high priestesses, the priests. And the process of turning on and activating the brain was performed in public. It was performed using those wonderful techniques of talking to the brain and activating the brain. Drum and song and rhythm and articulation. And in a pagan, cult, tribal, Celtic, Druid organization like this, it was assumed that every individual either was the divinity, or, I'm not ready for that, that it's your joyous opportunity and duty to become the vehicle for a divinity. And the typical pagan tribe, the divinity would be summoned down or brought from the other side of the screen into some sort of a tangible form here. And the person will be taken over, possessed by that god. That's why the religious ceremonies were always in groups where you had the support and the understanding of everyone present. Now at the same time, I'm sorry to say, back in the tribal stage of our... Oh, by the way, you see, we all go through the stages as little babies, children. First thing we do is what? Voice, posture, gesture, touch. I mean, we have recapitulated each one of us in this room. This history of human philosophy. At the same time, the pagans were summoning down the great powers and becoming possessed with the divine inspiration. There are a bunch of people, mostly centered in the Middle East, the brawling midbrain Middle East, who didn't buy this notion that divinity existed within, or that we were here to be possessed by divinity. It's called monotheistic religion. The monotheistic tribe, all the thinking and all the possession and all the communication was done by one man, usually an older man with a white beard and a powerful voice, who did all the thinking for us, and he was the one that was possessed. You remember that story about Moses coming down from the mountain? He had those tablets, and boys and girls, those were not suggestions. Yeah. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. That's not a topic to be discussed at your feminist group. It was all laid down there in marble. In the tribal system, you were either a god or a vehicle for a god, or you were a sheep.
A lot of my recent works appear in this weirdo magazine. These are the kind of guys who read my work. It's kind of an ode to the weirdo reader there. It's a hurt-sensitive kind of guy who doesn't fit in with the normal people. And it's like these people back here. She's saying, I always hated the Three Stooges. Of course, he loves the Three Stooges. This is my source material here. I couldn't find any pictures in magazines of ordinary modern street scenes in America, so I persuaded this guy that I know in Sacramento to spend a day with me driving around, because I don't drive, so I couldn't get around and do it myself, just to take snapshots of ordinary street corners in modern America.
first speaker is Sir William Crookes, the famous British physicist and psychical researcher. Crookes died in 1919 at the age of 87. The following five-minute excerpt is from a talk he gave via direct voice 43 years after his birth into a new dimension.
And I must admit, it's a great pleasure to me and others here to sometimes have the opportunity of endeavoring to break the bonds and the barriers and get through on some sort of level which is nearer our own condition of life and way of thought. And I'm very glad that you, particularly, are endeavoring to assist us in this.
Indispensable to me. You can't remember these things to draw these modern light poles and all this crap, all this junk that's on every suburban street.
Within the awakened power, the awakened joys, the awakened miracles, the awakened motivation, we would suggest the first thing, often the first that you can find, is that is the lumen, us, the luminous. You can find the luminous, the luminous is that which radiates rather than reflects light.
Mind of another story.
That which radiates rather than reflects love. Within coming home, within your exploration, you can discover your own luminous, the light that is already a part of you, that does not reflect but rather emanates. You can discover the love, the giving, the responding, the respecting, the rejoicing, the experiencing. You can discover the love that radiates from you, that emanates from you, not only reflecting upon you, but emanating from you. You can discover your own luminosity, the luminousness of you. And you can be filled and overflowing. You can be filled and overflowing with your own love and light.
Drew these people together, and we met in a snowbound weekend in Michigan for the first meeting, and I can't tell you how bizarre it was. Because the organization he called SEVA, which meant at that time Society for Epidemiological Voluntary Assistance, only he knew that it also was the Sanskrit word for service. So there was a doctor in a three-piece suit with a dispatch case who had come there for a meeting of the Society for Epidemiological Voluntary Assistance, and he had come from Washington. And he came into the morning meeting, the first session, he set his briefcase down and he sat there, and suddenly in walked Wavy Gravy, who sat down next to him with a beanie on his head with a propeller on the top of it. The look of that doctor, I will never forget. I mean, it was like, there's some error here, you know. I'm not supposed to be in this place where this guy is.
as well within the depths of coming home. You can also discover the luminous of God, God is all that is. You can discover the light. You can discover the love that emanates, not reflects, but emanates from God, God is all that is, through your soul, through your higher self, through your spirit. That immensity of love of the goddess, the light of the goddess, that immensity of the love and light of God, the immensity of the love and light of God, goddess, all that is. And in that light overflowing, you can be filled and overflowing with that luminous as well.
A lot of places, background here, stuff like that, all this back here, and if there's my story in here, I use it also. This whole background, all this stuff, put it right over here. You can't make up this crap. You know, it's too complicated. This cover here, I use a bunch of photos to take that stuff. In the real world, this stuff is not created to be visually pleasing. It's just accumulation of the modern industrial world that people don't even notice. They block it out.
Nobody knows the answer. I don't know how morphic resonance as conceived would fit with quantum non-locality, which, although it does in fact involve a past, because both systems originate from the past, and it's to do with a system with a past, which is, I would say, the very existence of these particles is a kind of resonance from their own past. And I would say that there is a kind of morphic resonance link, and probably that's what it might be. But I can't fit that into the formalism of quantum theory, because I don't know it. I'm not a quantum theorist. And to really to work with those equations with any degree of subtlety would require a deep understanding of the subject. On the other hand, J.S. Bell, the inventor of Bell's theorem, has been in correspondence with me. He's read both my books and has sent me his latest book. So we've been in a correspondence about the possible connection between morphic resonance and his own theory. He's perfectly intrigued by morphic resonance and morphic genetic fields, and he thinks they may be connected with his own theory, but he can't see how, because there's nothing in the conventional physics which has yet proved, because it's so based on eternal equations. The idea of Schrödinger's equation is a kind of eternal platonic form that governs all quantum processes from the beginning of the universe to the end in exactly the same way. That's the kind of inherited formalism of quantum mechanics, and that kind of mathematics, which postulates eternal platonic type forms, is not going to be adequate for modeling an evolutionary universe. And so it's not clear how the bridge can be made, or even whether that connection, but I think there must be some kind of connection. There can't be lots of totally unconnected types of non-locality in the universe.
Today, in the United States of America, today there are probably 35 or 40% of the population who literally, really perform this act. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He layeth me down in green pastures. No shit. Well, that's encouraging, isn't it? Well, it's kind of nice, but a woolly little sheep. Okay. The next level of human intelligence, of human communication, of course, came when we changed the mode of processing thoughts. Every time you change the mode of processing thoughts, you've got a new civilization. It happened, of course, when people learned to read and write, and those merchants in Phoenicia could send their little messages across the Mediterranean to Athens and to Rome. So you've got to remember, every time you look at a book, every time you hear people talk about literacy, writing is basically a device to encode down to keep other people from getting it. And that's where it came from in the beginning. And as Foucault and the French senior editions tell us right now, language is your oppressor's birthright. Literacy is the way the parents control children, the literate control the illiterate, the rich control the poor, the powerful control the impotent. Now, the great thing about printing is that it allows you to communicate at long distances. No longer is the sound raised of a human voice the circumference of the tribe. Now, hundreds of thousands, millions of people could be organized into social units called the feudal state. Now, in the feudal state, again, it was God, and God would send his messages down to the Pope, and the Pope would then have his priests, and to the average person, you were not encouraged to think for yourself. All the thinking was done for you. Typically, in the palace of the Duke or the Cardinal, there's a big mainframe computer called Illuminated Manuscript.
I remember one of the favorite stories. Reminds me a little bit of the story.
You start kicking.
And all you'll ever need to know is in that manuscript. And the manuscript, it's handled by monks with hackers with security clearances. And they know the machine language, which is Latin, so don't bother with it. And the individual human being was not a vehicle for divinity, but a serf or a slave to a vassal lord. Our Father who art in heaven, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, thine is the power and the glory. Gee, that's heavy shit, huh? It implies that we're helpless to search down here. At the same time, though, that the limited manuscripts were present, so we're individuals, men and women. They're always been individuals like us who are thinking for themselves. Now, if you're going to think for yourself, you obviously couldn't carry around an enormous big illuminated manuscript. Hell, it took about 4 months just to carry it from the palace to the church. So we used a phone communication back then. Small little illuminated manuscript. It's called cards. And I, for one, think that the tarot cards. They're wonderful. You can have your little bit of information. You carry it around with you. Hey, you want to see what I got here? Look at that. Oh, there's the hangman. You know what that means? You can flip over. Throughout human history, there have always been our kind of people. People who believe in the individual. Now, if you have your own tarot card, and you're sorting them and running your own deck, you see what you've done? The ultimate heresy. First thing they told in the Bible was, God came down, had the planets and the stars, and he made this paradise, Garden of Eden, the ultimate destination resort. But Adam, you're in charge here. Pulled out a rib for Eve to be his servant. You know about that. And said, Adam, boy, you can do whatever you want here forever, but there's just two food and drug regulations. Y'all see that tree? That's a tree of eternal life, and you are forbidden. The fruit of that is a controlled substance. Don't get you involved in rejuvenation stuff and longevity vitamins and cloning and cell repair, DNA engineering, brain implant, brain transplant.
Fucking asshole. Won't even let me leave the halfway house.
You know, it never ceases to amaze me. That fucking jungle bunny goes out there, slits some old woman's throat for 25 cents. He gets Doris Day for a parole officer. Good fella like you. Winds up with a ball-busting trick.
Love and light. You can change. You can be changed forever. Without fixing, you can be changed. Without curing, you can be healed. In the luminous, the overflowing of love and light that illuminates from within. As well, you can discover the numinous. The numinous. The numinous is the beauty and the wonder, the ineffable and the sacred. of the divine. The numinous in you. Is that part of you, beautiful and wonderful part of you, that is already part of, connected to, a piece of the divine? Unlike those who want to jump the gun and say, I am God, I am God, I am God. There is truly the divine that is within you, a piece of you, a part of you. It need not be a big piece of part. That it exists at all is enough. It is not a quantity, but a quality. The numinous is the divine. The numinous is the ineffable and sacred. It is not just beauty. It is not just wonder. It is the ineffable beauty and wonder. It is the ineffable. It is the sacred beauty. The sacred wonderful. The sacred. It is divine beauty and wonder that is in you, and you can be filled and outpouring. You can be filled and outpouring with your own numinous. And you also can be filled and outpouring with the numinous of God, the ineffable, the sacred divinity of God. The ineffable, the sacred wonder and beauty of the divinity of the goddess and of God, goddess, all that is. And in this numinous, in the divine, you can be instantly and spontaneously transfixed, transformed, transcendent. And you can be as instantly and as spontaneously grown. The numinous can grow you instantly, spontaneously. Change and heal, yes, but grow you to become more of who you truly are. In the overflowing, in the filling and outpouring of the numinous in you.
Club after club after club after club.
Yeah, I paid my dues. I paid my dues. I went through, you know, you can pay your dues in time put into business.
Yeah.
And you can pay your dues in the amount of material you go through and how good your act gets.
Yeah.
So I think, yeah, when I got Saturday Night Live, I was probably doing stand-up about 6-7 years. And some people say that's not a long time, but
if you go through a lot of material.
Yeah, people that know me and people that know I go through material.
You're churning it out, trying to find out what clicks and what hits and what resonates.
I wrote as much material in my 6 years as the average guy does in 13 or something.
Yeah. How do you write material?
How do I write material? Okay, this is the first thing I do. I write down, what do I want to talk about? That's the most important thing. What do I want to talk about? So I'm not really writing jokes. I write the topics. It's like, I write the joke. The joke doesn't write me.
All right, get up off your knees if you want. Upon a little soul searching, I realize I do not have the authority to cause you to work your entire life. for me, with me getting most of the rewards of that work. I just can't cotton pick to that notion. Some say a Nubian notion. But that's another story. Get up off your knees. Put those mops away. And dance! If you want. It's New Metaphysics. A daily presentation funded by the secret government to trick you into thinking that you have an alternative in the media. But enough about that. It's WZBC, FCC certified at 90.3. Jerry Riggs willing, that is, our crack technician. I think we're only at 89% broadcast power tonight. So you do the rest. Be an 11%er tonight. I want to congratulate you, mighty listeners, the hardest working listeners in town, dealing with very cold, ice cold media here, using the McLuhan term, requiring interactivity. A sexual kind of commingling, co-creation, if you will. Taking two to tango in this spiralic dance of ours. So many congrats, kudos, Medal of Honor. You are the President of the United States of America. With a lifetime term in office. You have an office with expenses paid, secretary's expense account, lifetime membership with the Hollywood Key Club for off-hour entertainment, of course. And membership to the West LA Snuff Film Video Club. And you can pardon yourself if caught red-handed. You can OJ your way through. Your people will save you, if you will. Going till 2 o'clock. I see 2 o'clock in the future. Pulling me forward. Creating the male and female fires of the power vortex of unconscious creativity, guided by the knowledgeable and wise hand of my conscious brain. Telling a story. That's all. Along with your story, oh so vital to the mix. Gary Geiserman, out.
you all, and as I say, they just aren't words enough to express our appreciation. So, thank you, and God bless you all.
If you insist on using high technology, there is a web page for this program. Oh, so neglected. Since I, like William Gibson, do not now, nor have I ever had, a computer device. On the web, rasa.com/nm, if you must. The three W's dot rasa.com/nm. Some audio on there. Getting ready for the big show. 12 or 24 months hence, when that which has been going on for some time now in the global media turns on its head, and grandma goes global, along with this show and your show. By then, there should be about 20 or 30 global news entities competing with Grandma. Or your favorite, Candyman. For airtime. Your choice. All media ever been on this planet, all sent digitally, straight to the pineal gland near you. Step one. Step the second. The Christ train rolls. Toot that horn, the seven psychic senses, online. Giving the perspective of modern technology that it really is a dinosaur. Very, very wasteful of energy. So, propelling the high-tech train, the intuition train, the Buddha Express, gently dissolving all heretofore authority. And completely wireless. Very large bandwidth. And free.
long time, but...
If you go through a lot of material.
Yeah, people that know me and people that know I go through material.
Meaning you're churning it out trying to find out what clicks and what hits and what resonates.
I wrote as much material in my 6 years as the average guy does in 13 or something. Yeah.
How do you write material?
How do I write material? Okay.
How do you write material?
How do I write material? Okay, this is the first thing I do. I write down what do I want to talk about. That's the most important thing. What do I want to talk about? So I'm not really writing jokes. I write the topics. It's like I write the joke. The joke doesn't write me. And so I write down the material, and I go into whatever comedy club in New York and work it out really, really late, though. You must go late.
Late at night.
You got to go late at night. Anybody can make the crowd...
After midnight?
After midnight, pretty much after 11. Anybody can make the crowd laugh 9:30, 10 o'clock. That's easy. Yeah. You do it after midnight, you know what I mean? And you get those drunk people laughing. Then you really got something. It's like in baseball, the guy swinging two bats. So when he gets up, he can hit the ball extra far.
Remember one of the favorite story of mine. I always remember one of the favorite stories.
So you work it real late. Another thing I make sure I do, especially when I'm working on material, I watch good movies, like preferably Woody Allen, like really, really good comedies. And I listen to like really, really good music.
You're listening for what?
Osmosis. You know what I mean? I try to like take all the nonsense out of my life. And you look for inspiration. And you look to heights that I feel I haven't achieved yet. It's like, wow. If I, you watch Annie Hall, wow. If I could do that one day. You watch Pryor's first, stand-up special. Instead of watching, Evening at the Improv.
Is anybody since been any better than Richard Pryor was at his best?
Nobody has been better than Richard Pryor at his best.
A little bit of the story.
Said, never mind the ball rock. When do we start kicking?
This may be the last one you ever invite me to. But I got an employer up there. And this is the biggest amener that I have in this place tonight is Brother Cyril. If America, I did not say get religion. I said repent of their immorality, of their degradation, of their perversion, and of their abandoning the faith. Repent. Turn yourselves from all of your transgressions. Repent. So iniquity shall not be your ruin. Repent. Cast away from you all your transgressions. Whereby you have transgressed, repent, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. Why will you die, O house of Israel? Repent, for I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord God. Wherefore, turn yourselves, America, and live. I want to say this tonight up front. Repent. It is not too late. Repent for America. I don't want to say it lightly. I don't want just some little charismatic hand clap to jump on top of that line. Repent. But there is going to have to be a surgical work of the Holy Spirit that can only take place that if America will bow on its knees and turn to the living God and cast away their iniquity. God said, you will not die, but you shall live. The soul that sinneth shall die. That's emphatic. The wicked shall be turned into hell. That's emphatic. And so will all the nations that forget God. Here is a word we don't use in the secular realm, nor even in the spiritual church. Repent.
They declare that a negative entropy, the force in biology, would build up in matter, is an impossibility. For them, there is only positive entropy in accordance with the second principle of thermodynamics, of Carnot clauses regarding the breakdown of energy. They maintain that energy always breaks down. There can be no negative energy.
Repent.
In the opposite sense of the law of degradation.
Repent.
This would imply an endogenous production of energy within the organism to a level which, in their view, tends to decline naturally towards the breakdown and death of matter. These physicists do not deny the presence of an energy which maintains life, but for them, this energy comes from what the organism takes in from its surrounding outside medium. They do not realize the great flaw in their argument. If this energy comes from outside, it is a mistake to represent it as a justification for applying Carnot Clausius' principle to biology. This principle has never been applicable in such cases. It is formulated only for closed systems having no exchange with the outside. Therefore, the concepts of entropy and negative entropy have no significance when there is an exchange with the outside medium.
Repent.
Well, who is to say in which present-day branch of physics mental energy, the strength of will or character, should be placed? One can associate memory with information and negative entropy with cybernetics, or should it be chemistry? But nothing tells us that intelligence itself will not someday be expressed by physical or chemical law. We should not try to explain everything in terms of our present knowledge, but remember instead the advice of de Broglie in the quotation heading the introduction to this book. So, that quotation we're looking for here. It is premature to want to assess vital processes according to the very insufficient physico-chemical concepts of the 19th or even the 20th centuries. And that was Louis de Broglie. So this is a wonderful book for people to think. And it's, well, I could go on with this, but I'm sure people wanted me to talk about the end machine free energy, or Roy might want me to talk about something, so
what? Okay, well, I'm just wondering who would be particularly grating at the teeth or scoffing at what you just heard. Would it, have you said anything dangerous? But
and as far as that was concerned, I don't believe, as I said, we turned over the fact that we knew that Hunt was involved, that a possibility that Liddy was involved, but under the circumstances...
You didn't turn that over.
What?
You didn't turn that over.
No. We turned over the fact that Hunt was...
You never told anyone about
involved.
Liddy, though.
No, not at that point.
Now, after the Gray conversation,
the cover-up went on. You would say, I think, that you were not aware of it. I think, was arguing that you were a part of it as a result of the June the 23rd conversations. But you would say that you...
You say I was a part of it as a result of the June 23rd conversations?
Yes.
After July 6th, when I talked to Gray?
I would have said that you joined a conspiracy which you therefore never left.
No. Well, then we totally disagree on that.
But I mean, those are the two positions. Now, you in fact, however, would say that you first learned of the cover-up on March the 21st. Is that right?
On March 21st,
the Numinous in God got us all that is in the Luminous in you. In the Luminous of God got us all that is. Beyond the Luminous and the Numinous, you can also discover the Liminal. The Liminal. The Liminal is the threshold between. It is not before, it is not after. It is not in, it is not out. It is the threshold between. It is not in time, it is not beyond time, it is between time. It is not in space, it is not beyond space, it is between space. It is as a threshold to a door. It is not in the room, it is not out of the room, it is the threshold that is neither in nor out, but between. The Liminal is that which is between time. We've talked in various workshops in exploring the gateways to the unknown, exploring any number of topics this year. We have talked about moving beyond space and time, and we talk of choice. We talk of going to a place, a love that is beyond fear, and in that love you can reach beyond space-time. The mystical choice we talk of that is beyond space-time, that's not the Liminal. Beyond space-time is not the Liminal. This side of or inside of is not. It's between time. It's between space. That is the Liminal. It is between transmutation. In the midst of, not before, not after, transmuting, but in the midst of the transmutation, in the midst of transformation, not the old form, not the new form, but somewhere in between, bridging from one form to another, trans the form. So within the midst of transition, or the transformation, is the Liminal. It is within transcendence, transcendence that takes, no, not even that long. In between, in the midst of, not before, not after transcendence, but in the midst of, is the Liminal. The Liminal is the threshold between the duality and the oneness. It is a unity. The Liminal is a unity between duality and oneness. It is not the dual, it is not the one. It is that that is between, the unity between duality and oneness. It is the space, the place that is not a space or place at all. It is between all spaces, between all places. Where there is unity and equity without hierarchy, where there is unity and equity without hierarchy. Early on we used to be asked what level you come from, so as to position us, we suppose, in some sort of hierarchical structure. And we would respond, somewhat tongue-in-cheek, on seriously, decide what level you want us to be on, we'll show up. Because you see, beyond, outside of these worlds of your creation, physical, astral, causal and mental, so much is in the Liminal, without hierarchy. liminal. Unity and equity without hierarchy. The liminal is the vulnerable and the sacred. As well as a state, there is also the liminal self. You, not the chassis that you're in, but you have a liminal self. It is a self that is somewhere between the ego I and the self I. It's not ego, it is not I, it is not self, it is an I that's somewhere between. A threshold. In the liminal self, the man and the woman that you are blend and blur homogeneously. The woman and the man that you are blend, blurring, becoming united. The feminine energy and the masculine energy commingle, commix, homogeneous within you. Within the liminal self, all faces of self, all aspects of you, from the innocent to the fool, with the streetwise and the wise, with the fighter and the nurturer, with the destroyer, creator, with the seeker of love and the seeker of truth, and with the masterful and the magical you, blurred and blended together in unity and in equity without hierarchy. You see, you experience these aspects of you, these faces of you, and you do give them hierarchy in your physical world. Some of you are more warrior than you are nurturer. Others of you much more nurturer than you are warrior. Some of you are splendid at breaking things down and breaking things apart and ending the past and ending the pain and ending the contracts. You have a great difficulty creating something new and putting something new in place. Others of you can create new ideas and new projects and new this and new that and are on the verge of brilliant and incredible success, but you never seem to be able to destroy the past, to destroy the links and snares, to destroy the nets and webs that hold you in place. Some of you create more than you destroy. Others of you destroy more than you create. Some of you seek truth but seem never to find love. Others of you seek love and never find truth. You do have a hierarchy as you live in your physical space-time reality of those aspects of self. Some aspects are totally denied altogether. But in the liminal, in that threshold, not on it, in it, all aspects have unity and equity without hierarchy. And they have integrity. Integrity. Meaning, in this case, in this context, that each face has a space for every other face. We talked of it when we talked of miracles, how each component of miracles holds the space for every other component. We talked of it when we talked of muses in relationship to your passion. Each muse has its own responsibility but holds the space for the other eight muses. Well, in the liminal, you can discover the unity, the equity. Without hierarchy, you can discover the integrity, where each face holds the space for every other. See, this is where the problem so often arises. in the living of life, through the spatial time that you do, so often you reject certain of the faces. We've talked of this before. And you put all your weight, all your energy, you rely too much upon a single or upon two or three of the 12 faces. These that you rely too heavily upon often become angry, resentful, bitter, because you're asking too much of them. You are shaming them because you are asking them, you are demanding responsibility that they cannot take. Other than the faces get denied, you realize this. Some of you know, for example, that your warrior lasted about an afternoon when you were about 7. That you came out fighting and you got slapped down so hard that never again were you ever going to be a warrior. And you decided instead to be the nurturer. I'm just going to help and heal everybody. I'm going to be the good guy. I'm going to be the good girl. I'm going to be everybody's favorite. I'm just going to coffee anybody? Tea anybody?
A new edition of No Beast So Fierce has just been published by Vintage. In the introduction, William Styron writes, Edward Bunker is one of a small handful of American writers who have created authentic literature out of their experiences as criminals and prisoners.
Was the date when I was first informed of the fact, the important fact to me in that conversation. And you're looking for a rating of SG. Think of super good.
Are you having fun?
Out. Directly contract the ribs.
And out. Isolate side. This is great for building abs. Dance it is beautiful movement for abdominal muscles. Again. One more time. Hold. Hold here. Tap it down.
So much so that I'm just about old enough to remember the Great Depression. And those of you who are my age or older will remember that things were bad, but they weren't like now. Like, you know, you weren't finding that. I mean, I'm starting to get letters from people in American cities of the kind I get from the third world, where people say, could you send me a book? You know, the public library in Sacramento is closed down.
Opening of No Beast So Fierce.
I sat on the lidless toilet at the rear of the cell, shining the hideous bulb-toe shoes that were issued to those being released. Through my mind ran an exultant chant, I'll be a free man in the morning. But for all the exultation, the joy of leaving after 8 calendars in prison was not unalloyed. My goal in buffing the ugly shoes was not so much to improve their appearance as to relieve tension. I was more nervous in facing release on parole than I had been on entering so long ago. It helped slightly to know that such apprehensiveness was common, though often denied, by men to whom the world outside was increasingly vague as the years passed away. Enough years in prison and a man would be as ill-equipped to handle the demands of freedom as a Trappist monk thrown into the maelstrom of New York City. At least the monk would have his faith to sustain him, while a former prisoner would possess memory of previous failure, of prison, and the incandescent awareness of being an ex-convict, a social outcast.
Let's look at a day in the life of Cheryl before I show you the thin fat. Let's listen to her talk about what it meant to live a life as an anorexic.
I'd come home. I would swim for about 2 hours. And I wasn't a good swimmer, so it made it even harder in the pool at the apartment that I was at. I had a bike that I rode around Stanley Park for about 2 hours. After that, I may have eaten maybe soup. I would allow myself. Then I would go back. I had an exercise bike. As I mentioned to you, I had brought to Vancouver a stereo system, some records, and an exercise bike. And I rode my bike until late evening, I may take a walk around the park, the duck pond, and then I went to bed. And I did that basically for 4 months. I was extremely thin.
Okay, so it's so clear that we're dealing in bulimia and anorexia with life-threatening, deadly diseases. And I'm going to be suggesting to you in program two that these diseases are created by the whole attitude toward beauty, our whole moral judgment on fatness as bad and evil, and that there's something wrong with fatness, and that thin is good and fat is bad, and that both of these women began with diets. That is, bulimia is a kind of diet. There's a place where Denise talks about all the gals in high school, you know, eating the chocolate cake and then going and vomiting it, and basically saying we could have our cake and eat it too, because we could vomit. We knew we could go vomit.
It would be too much to ask even the most gullible person on the face of this earth to believe that he just happened to bleed five times directly, immediately to the left of the killer's bloody shoe print.
There were two.
Have your head frozen. Stay away from that. And the tree over here, see that? Through that tree is a controlled substance too, because and y'all not even think about those, because that is the fruit of the tree of knowledge. How clear could it be? Don't bother with knowledge. We'll do all the thinking for you. And I'm proud to say there was Eve, the first human being that stood on her feet and thought for herself, defining the human race, Homo sapiens sapiens, was Eve. And little straight out Adam would still be there in the Garden of Eden reading the Bible if it weren't for Eve. The next stage in our thought processing, the next computer to come along, was the one thing, was an inexpensive home portable computer that was produced by the printing press, Johann Gutenberg, you know, there. Now, the printing press was mass produced. It was hanging hand stuff. Now, that's wonderful, because it means that there's more computers out there for everybody to have. And within 100 years, every town in Europe had a printing press, and people were reading and writing. It was wonderful. And none of us can knock the industrial civilization, which was created by the Gutenberg press. We're here today because the machinery has eliminated most of the need for human work, muscle power, and that's all to the good. The problem with the printing press, the industrial society, is that, again, there's no real motivation or encouragement for the think for yourself. Now, if you think that you can really operate as an individual divinity in an industrial society, let me pose you a couple of problems here. The press is free, sure, for him who owns the press. And what are you going to do if there's a book, you read a book, and you can write in the margins, you can write letters to the editor, you maybe write your own book, but obviously it's not read by many people. Just as in the tribal society, the individual human being was a serf or a slave, and just as in the feudal society, the individual was an indentured serf to the liege lord, the ideal human being in the industrial society is a good cog in the machine. He's supposed to be prompt, dependable, reliable, efficient, productive, and of course, replaceable.
Now, let me ask you, my friends. Now, all these things that were coming up for you, and only you know what they were. Now, they were all spontaneously coming up for you. You were automatically making judgments. Do you realize this? Then why were you having any reaction whatsoever? You see, you were already in your process of judgment. You were already in your beliefs. You were in your head. And even though you were looking at the eyes of the other individual, you really didn't want to be doing it. Anything would be better than doing this. My God, I'm nervous. This person's looking at the wart on my nose. I know he is. He's looking at the little hairs of my eyebrow, and he doesn't like the way they're arranged. You're either mentally creating stuff for the other person, you know? You see what I mean? And you're all doing it. You do it automatically. It's spontaneous. You can't help it, so forget it. Don't try to help it. Best thing to do is to give up. Forget the struggle. Forget about getting anywhere. Now that we've got all that aside, now we can move on, you see? But what I wanted to illustrate briefly was that none of you knew it, but your beliefs were in full swing in that little process. And what happened was, all of you brought up your protection mechanism because you didn't want to be discovered. You didn't really want to know what was in the other person, you see?
I mean, he's only been nothing but good luck for us. And the guy's a fucking rabbit's foot, for crying out loud.
Well, I think you're perfectly right in all that you say. I wonder if you were a spiritualist yourself when you were on the earth.
I most definitely was.
In America. I mean, I've had people tell me that they shouldn't allow me to write, and, you know, just, you're locked out of society. That's essential fact once you've been in. And you're accepted, and you have a group that you're accepted by.
In prison.
In prison, amongst thieves and criminals. And...
Now, your novel, No Beast So Fierce, has just been republished. What's the story behind the new edition?
How did it get republished?
Yeah.
Essentially, my friend James Ellroy introduced me to his French publisher, who liked my books, who took all my books, and they published them in France, this one first, and they were very successful. And with the and with my friend Bill Styron wrote an introduction for me. So with that working for me, with an introduction by Styron, and it's a pretty good book, they decided to republish it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's... I don't think without the introduction, it would have been republished.
Okay.
Hurry up. She's helping me.
Now she's break dancing. Get out of here.
Come on, self. Come over here and get your plate. What's up? Okay, and then... Okay. Give me the gum. I'll trade you the gum for the plate.
Okay,
can I get her a ring? Yes.
Now they have it starch and look fat.
Puppy doo-doo!
Ew, look at all this.
It's fun to eat supper with your family, especially when there is good food on the table.
Jack, at least you can manage to be on time. Your mother goes to all the trouble to prepare a fine meal. It's only common courtesy, Chuck.
I know, but I couldn't help it. I was late home from school.
Once I reached adolescence, it was the late 50s, and everybody I know, their families had nothing to do with the advertisement for itself that the culture was presenting on the TV screen.
Why not?
Well, I have to have a reason, but all your friends will be there. I'm crawling, not...
Chuck, don't talk with your mouth full. Chew your food well. Chew and chew. Doesn't it taste extra good that way?
The whole thing was just a big false front that was just suffocating and so dreary and depressing. Okay, they grew up in the Depression. All right, we understand. They went through the war, and they just wanted this thing that was so tight and unthreatening and flat, and they wanted a dull lifestyle. So they wanted Perry Como and this Ozzie and Harriet shell that we grew up in. The whole thing had this kind of creepy, nightmarish, grotesque quality to it, you know?
Start kicking. Favorite story of mine, which puts me in mind of another story.
Advertising. Rush Limbaugh. Rush First Love. 60 seconds for use with live tag.
In the beginning was radio. His first love.
I have more fun than humans should be allowed to have.
His loyal listeners loved him back.
We love you, Rush!
And every day there are even more.
We love you, Rush!
He tackles issues and makes people laugh. And talk. And think.
And I do it all with half my brain tied behind my back just to make it fair.
Talent and modesty. Rush Limbaugh, the most popular radio talk show host in the country.
On the planet. The planet.
Can radio alone contain his awesome talent? Announcing the Rush Limbaugh Show. Now with pictures.
He's coming to
I'm Rush Limbaugh with more talent than I'll ever need.
Tennyson had a little moment there where he actually made a dent.
Richard Pryor was at his best.
Nobody has been better than Richard Pryor at his best. No. Sam Kinison had a little moment there where he actually made a dent, but no one has been... And Eddie Murphy has had flashes of brilliance, has been as dynamic. You know what I mean? Maybe even a better performer,
right.
But nobody's been as good and as funny as Richard Pryor.
And the thing about Richard Pryor, though, it was the edge. I mean, the satirical edge.
This week, we're hauling in America's most notorious criminals on the A&E Television Network. Why? Because it's Gangsters Week. On Biography, get a load of these mugs. Al Capone, a.k.a. Scarface. He said he just gave people what they wanted.
In addition to the comedy.
Yeah, it was just the brutal honesty. It was just, I will say anything.
Like 500 men wanted to die. This maybe? John Dillinger.
And I don't care how you feel about it. I have nothing to hide. You know what I mean? He's the I have nothing to hide guy.
Me number one. The face of a charmer, the mind of a criminal genius.
Who else is in that Hall of Fame with him? Eddie Murphy?
Eddie's definitely in
Richard.
There.
Richard,
Mr. Kinison. Mr. For my money,
yeah.
Bill Cosby is the greatest comedian to ever live.
Done by a lady in red. Sucker. Pretty Boy Floyd and Bugsy Siegel. They had the personality of a ticking bomb.
When do we start kicking?
If a body meet a body coming through the rye were the first words of Robert Burns' famous 18th century song. But in the novel The Catcher in the Rye, Holden Caulfield is spellbound by a young child singing, "If a body catch a body coming through the rye."
Dr. Octagon, please come to the office. Come now. Oh, fuck. Patient just died in room 105. Cirrhosis of the eye. Nurse, come in. Please, where are you? Fuck it, he's dead. Oh, shit, there's a horse in the hospital.
I always remember one of the favorite stories, which puts me in mind of another story.
It's that misunderstanding that gives Holden an image of himself, an explanation for why adults become phonies, and why innocent children need a catcher in the rye.
Was of the blackmail threat that was being made by Howard Hunt, who was one of the Watergate participants.
I hope you've been doing something with your freedom on board ship. Not getting too friendly with the homogendered out there with you. That would be wrong. It's new metaphysics after all these hours. Gary Geiserman gently embracing the joystick. Interacting with you tonight. We have a guest in the studio, a former listener who has gone off to the city of New York for what have you. What's your name?
Jonas.
Jonas what?
Jonas Goldstein.
Speak a little louder, mystery guest.
I'm no mystery guest.
So you're from Newton, I take it.
Born and bred.
Home of Ram Dass.
Indeed.
And Howard Stern's wife.
And some guy on Friends.
Oh, is that right? Which
yeah.
one?
Matt LeBlanc, I think.
Ah, I have no idea, but whatever.
Yeah, well, you know. You keep an eye out for those Newtonians.
So what are you doing in New York now, Jonas?
Transitional period, moving into commercial period.
Well, you're working for an ad agency, is that right?
Currently I'm working for Smash Advertising in Boston, doing some video editing and a little graphics there. And looking for similar but different situation in Manhattan.
Well, I thought you were working in Manhattan.
Making the move right now.
And you did some promo work for Geraldo, I hear.
Oh, yeah. Geraldo Rivera. I believe you can see the spots currently on Channel 7. Tape them and watch them closely, and you'll see what's up.
That's the daytime Geraldo, right?
That's right. The campaign is called Change. And the tagline of the campaign is Geraldo in his daywear saying, life changes. I'm not about to stand still.
That's our Geraldo. I'm glad you're helping him.
Well, that's the least I can do. Actually, not the least. I'm trying to do more.
He needs your help.
Yeah, we need his. There's a fight out there. I don't know if Geraldo's on the right kick, but at least he's kicking. So
what have your impressions been of New York?
It's different. I was there a few years ago living, and it's different for me now because I suppose I'm a different person, but in the past it seemed like a too much to handle place. But now it seems more like just a big mess. A lot of opportunity there, spiritually, I think. A lot of good stuff going on.
Rush First Love, 30 seconds for
this
you.
This is one of yours, right?
What's that?
It's Rush thing?
He tackles issues and makes people laugh.
Oh, that's from the agency I work for.
And think.
While having more fun than humans should be allowed to have.
Rush Limbaugh, the most popular radio talk show host in the country. Rush
Limbaugh. On the planet. The planet.
And you sleep at night. Is that right, Jonas?
That's right. I didn't actually work on this piece, but I work on pieces similar. And to sort of see the creative process behind that is, it's everything you would expect it to be, and worse.
And you went from,
who is Rush Limbaugh?
The hottest talk
from,
Vanity Fair.
I'm having more fun
pure art should be allowed to have. That you studied here in Boston, right? Yeah. What did you study here?
Museum school. Another born and bred situation. Started off with classical figurative sculpture. And as the situation unfolded for me over the following 3 years, I ended up doing commercial video work. Now, when I was doing sculpture, though, that was, like, the thing. I was never, ever, ever going to move from anything other than working with the classical figure. And I drew every day.
And
my idol was Michelangelo. But discovered that the message I was attempting to convey was more abstract than I was hoping. And it was so abstract I got the sense that I was probably fooling myself and my audience. So I wanted to move to a more narrative form like film or video.
Here's Chris Rock.
Richard Pryor did the funniest, was the funniest for that amount of time. Like, it's like a Willie Mays, Hank Aaron argument.
Right.
But for the long, for the long run, Bill Cosby is like the only guy to ever, in the history of comedy, maybe Woody too, be funny at every phase of his career. He was funny without kids. He was funny with kids.
He was funny with young, funny with middle-aged. Right.
What's that?
You know, I love Richard, but he kind of talked about the same thing the whole time.
Black experience,
getting laid, whatever. Cosby's like this whole thing. You know what I mean?
Markings and signs.
Thank you.